Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, and Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. 1 John chapter 4. Next slide. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Advent is a time where the church prepares to celebrate the birth or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as waiting in anticipation of his second coming in glory to judge the living and the dead. And for the past three Sundays, we have heard the message of hope, peace, and joy. And this morning, we'll be hearing about love as the final theme of Advent before Christmas. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we pray and ask this morning that will you speak to us. Speak to us so clearly that we know that it's you and you are the one that is speaking to us to act upon what we have heard today about love. So, Lord, we pray and ask of you that in all this is for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen. How do we know if someone loves you for who you are? Do you wish there is someone out there who loves you just as you are? There was this story, a young girl named Mary stood at the edge of the cliff. Her heart was heavy with regrets. The past few years has been a series of mistakes, wrong turns, and broken promises. She has lost herself somewhere along the way, caught up in the pursuit of success, approval, and short moments of happiness. The pain of her choices weighed her down. As she gazed upon the vast ocean, Mary felt utterly alone. No one seems to understand her at all. It seems that no matter how hard she tries to make the past right, she couldn't undo the past at all. And in her mind, she was constantly playing these words, "I'm unworthy of love. I failed many times. Life is not worth living." And yet, in that moment, she heard a voice, a gentle and calm voice. It says, "I love you." She froze, as there was no one around her at all. The voice wasn't her own. It was something deeper, something beyond words. A warmth filled her chest, pushing against the coldness of regret. She felt a peace she had not known in years. And then she continued thinking, but I have made so many mistakes. How can you still love me? The voice answered, not with words, but a deep, unshakable truth. Mary suddenly remembered the stories her grandmother had told her about God's love, how it was not conditional, how it never left, even when we turned away. Mary went down on her knees, tears flowing freely. For the first time in the longest time ever, she felt seen. She felt loved. She felt forgiven. And in that moment, she understood God's love was not about being perfect. It was about being embraced no matter what. She was loved just as she was. And this morning, we want to consider what is love according to Scripture. What are some biblical texts that we can look at? And we will be looking at 1 John chapter 4 and Mark chapter 12 for God's idea of love. And this morning, we will touch on these 3 points. The source of love, the expression of love, and finally, the application of love. Next. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says that, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever love has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This first letter of John is written by John himself, the beloved disciple of Christ, and he's also the author of the Gospel of John as well. And the main thrust of the author writing to the believers is to ensure that they are believers in Christ. And how does one know that they are believers or not? One huge aspect of being a believer is L-O-V-E. I'm not going to sing for us, but that is the aspect of what it means to be a Christian. And before we talk about love and its meaning, we need to understand that who is love and where does it come from? In Scripture itself, it's very clearly spoken to us, isn't it? That love is from God Himself, and God is love. It's emphasized in verse 7 and 8, and throughout the whole letter of 1 John, there are many themes. For example, light and darkness, truth and falsehood, right or wrong. Because of the false teaching of that day, John, the writer, was writing to the believers about the true doctrine itself and how to differentiate from it. That is why John writes about love and who is love, God Himself. And John clearly states for us that in these verses, he says in one verse, in one sentence, John clearly divides for us, sifts out for us, who is a believer or not. If you were a believer, you would know who is love, God Himself. But John didn't stop there. He went further to explain to us the expression of this love that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And in verse 9 to 10, he says that the expression of love, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love has a name. His name is called Jesus. Love is from God. He has made His dwelling among us. Love incarnate so that we may live through Him. love became one of us so that he can save us from our sins. One of my favorite songs as I was growing up and until now is this song called Before the Throne of God Above. It says this: when Satan tempts us to despair and tells me of the guilt within, I look and see him there. And here is the highlight for me, actually, this verse: who make an end to all my sin, the past, the present, and the future of all eternity, because the sinless Savior died. My sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on Christ and pardon me. All of us are sinners. No one is perfect. We have sinned against God one way or another. We can't do anything about sin. And redemption and help must come from the outside. Christ is the sinless Savior that can and have made an end to all our sin, because Christ has gone to the cross in full obedience to the Father, and with his love for his Father, he went to the cross in humility. He died so that we might live. The righteousness of Christ is imputed upon us, and there's a divine exchange that's happening, and God, the perfect judge, is fully and forever satisfied. As a result of that, we who are the sinners are now free from sin and slavery and alive in Christ. Because we are fully pardoned, God has shown us in his mercy. Dear friends, this is the true meaning and message of Christmas. This is the gospel message. And with this in mind, we can come before God just as we are. God knows all our bad habits, all our sins, our deepest and darkest and dirtiest sin and secrets. Yet God still loves us the same. And Timothy Keller once said this: to be loved and not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything else. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us from out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. Friends, church members, are you fully known and truly loved by this God Most High? God knows us fully, and yet he still loves us despite of our weaknesses. So we can come to God just as we are, regardless of our status, our position in life, our education levels, our sins. God accepts us as we are because of the righteousness of Christ. Here is a story. If you have watched enough Korean dramas, not that I've watched enough, but if you have watched enough, you will hear or heard of this story or even seen this before. And if you can even guess the correct movie, correct drama, you can come to me. I treat you a cup of Yakun, then we can talk more about Korean drama. But if you can guess it, I'm not sure how many of us can guess it. Here it goes. In the hallway of an A&E area, there was a chaotic moment. A young doctor was screaming at the top of his voice. He says that the patient is a rapist. He should not be deserved to be operated at all. He should be left alone to bleed to death. And now comes the older doctor. He said, once he's pushed into the hospital, he is a patient. His status is a patient and not his labor, which is a rapist. Some of you are smiling already, so I gather you figure out the drama already. But never mind, let me continue. After understanding the older doctor's position, the struggling younger doctor went into the operating theater to help the older doctor to operate on the patient. Halfway through the operation, a father sneaked into the operating theater with a knife, with a weapon, and declared to the two doctors, he should not be operated at all. He should not be safe at all. He raped my 12-year-old daughter. He was determined to kill the patient with his weapon. Everyone in the room was stunned, speechless, motionless. Nobody dared to breathe at all. That was how intense that moment was. But the older doctor kept his cool, continuing on to operate on the patient. And the father screamed at the doctor and took one of the personnel as hostage, threatening to kill the hostage if the older doctor refused to stop. The older doctor said to the hostage, I will continue to treat the patient. If I were to stop now, he will die. And then he turned to the father. This patient is my patient. I will not let him die on the table. After I finish operating with him, on him, if you still want to kill him, you can go ahead. And the older doctor says, my role as a doctor is to save life. My role is not to judge him. That is the role of a judge. The father was crying like nobody business throughout the operation and screaming at the doctor many times for him to stop the surgery. However, the older doctor remained calm, continued to finish the surgery. At the end, the older doctor asked everyone to leave the room, leaving the patient and the father and himself as he walked off. And in the end, the police came to arrest the father, who did nothing to the patient at all, but was found crying on the floor. And in the same light, our God was the perfect judge, yet he was a merciful one. He knew from the beginning that we could not save ourselves from our sins. It's always his plan A, and there was never a plan B. He knew we could not save ourselves from our sins. God, the merciful God and the just God, sent Jesus Christ, his son, his only son, to go to the cross for our sin. God saw the righteousness of Christ. All our sins were pardoned. Christ saved us from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. And we have seen the source of love, whom is God himself, and the expression of love, Christ himself on the cross. And we have seen God's love through the cross of Christ. Now we will look at the book of Mark to see the application of love. In Mark chapter 12, 28 to 31, it says that one of the scribes came out and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandments greater than this. The author is Mark the Evangelist. The book of Mark is like a fast action, action-packed movie. It's just like Avengers, all the way fighting, very little conversations, very little dialogues, because dialogue is not the key thing. Fighting is the real thing, right? If you are a Marvel fan like myself. But of course, there are some dialogues that bring you to tears. But that is the book of Mark as well. It gives us the front and center right away. And here in Mark chapter 12, Jesus was having a conversation with a scribe who knew the Mosaic law has 613 commands. And he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And of course, Jesus gave the familiar answer that most of us also can memorize today. But if we were to unpack it, it has great, profound theological truth and challenging personal applications. And in this verse, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 8. It says that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and with all your strength." It's added in the Gospel of Mark, which is the beginning of Shema prayer. Shema is a Jewish prayer that serves as a centerpiece of the morning and evening Jewish prayer services. And when Jesus here said that, "Hear, O Israel," it doesn't mean that let the sound wave go into our ears only. But here the word Shema means to meditate, to allow the words to sink in, to reflect, to provide understanding and generate a response. It is about an action. In Hebrew, hearing and doing is actually the same thing. There's no difference at all. If you hear something, you do it. And that is what Jesus is trying to say. Then the next sentence, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." What does it really mean? It refers to the Godhead, the Trinity. God the Father loved the Son in return loved the Father. It's a mutual love. It's a reciprocal love. The Son obeys the Father and His will. The Son went to the cross in full obedience to glorify the Father. Just as the Father has sent the Son, now the Son sent the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's purposes, God's will on earth. There was perfect unity. There was perfect harmony. There was perfect love within the Trinity that has demonstrated for us what is love. And with this theological truth of love, Jesus went on and push the idea to say that Jesus went, what it means to love God and to love man. Jesus only quote the part about loving God from the Shema, but Jesus didn't stop there. He added a command to love others. What is the definition of love? Love in the modern day is about a warm, fuzzy, loving, emotional kind of energy, but that is not love. Love, it means to love, to show love, to demonstrate love, to take pleasure in, to love based on its regarded value. And most of us will be very familiar with the noun agape, but here Jesus talk about love is that when Jesus commands us to love God, it's because of His value. God is worthy of our love. God is God alone, and none can be compared to Him. According to the New Bible Dictionary, heart means the center of one's life. This includes the physical, mental, and spiritual aspect of it. The heart also drives one belief, purposes, character, emotions, thoughts, and intention. What is soul? Soul is quite similar to the heart. It focuses on the vital force that keeps us alive. Mind is closer to understanding, attitude, outlook. It includes the point of view or standards by one's evaluation of one's life. Strength means the might, the effort, and the passion in whom we love, which we love God, in which we love God. And in short, our whole being as a believer is to love God in totality. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God involves every aspect of us. There is no room for quiet quitting at all. What is quiet quitting in today's culture? Quiet quitting doesn't mean that you are quitting the task or your job, but rather you are doing the bare minimum that your job requires. It's not possible when we are following Christ or serving God's people. It's either you are all in or all out. It's either you are in or nothing at all. And likewise, it is our love for others. R.T. France said this in his commentary in the book of Mark. He says that the love of other people finds its purpose or its true place only in the basis of our prior love of God. Allow me to repeat again. The love of other people finds its true place only on the purpose, on the basis of our prior love of God. Saint Augustine of Hippo also explained to us this way. He says that, what does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. He has eyes to see the misery and want. He has the eyes, he has the ears to hear the sigh and sorrows of men. This is what love looks like. My last illustration and I will close. The Boys Brigade Share a Gift project was started in 1988 as a community service project that promotes the spirit of caring and sharing amongst the local community during the Christmas season. This project is carried out annually, mobilizing more than 3,500 BB officers and members and hundreds of volunteers to collect grocery items and gifts for distribution to the needy. Donors are challenged beyond purely financial giving to make the extra effort to purchase and deliver these items. And for the past 2 months, at selected NTUC in Singapore, the Boys Brigade has invited all our people to donate halal canned food, drinks, biscuits, instant noodles, and rice. And on the 13th December, just one Friday ago, a group of 26 boys woke up very early in the morning, and they fall in Yusof Ishak Secondary School. They came in their full uniform. They were dressed smartly, as requested by Elder Jack always. They came in their they are all ready to do what they are supposed to do. And first, they need to load up the cars with 160 hampers, and out of which half of the hampers are 5 kilo heavy, and the rest is 1 kg. And to unload them to the void deck, waiting for distribution. And second, once we reach the place, the boys did a great job in organizing themselves to deliver the hamper two by two. As seen in the picture, they are giving up to the people in Punggol, the residents there. So a question you may ask is that, who are the beneficiaries? They are the poor in our midst. As much as we believe that Singapore is super rich, there are poor people in our midst. Some of them are wheelchair bound. Some of them do not have their family members looking after them. Some of them are struggling families who are unable to make ends meet. Some of them are sharing the flat with another person. Sometimes they are not just the poor, they are also the forgotten by the society. But they are not forgotten by the people of God, or rather, God Himself has not forgotten about them. And God is using us to share His love during this Christmas season. With that, I want to leave us with this last slide of Augustine. What does love look like? It has hands to help others. He has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. He has eyes to see the mystery and want. He has the ears to hear the sigh and sorrows of man. This is what love looks like. Hearing the word of God is one thing. Doing is another. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we know you have spoken to us. Lord, we pray and ask that as we receive your love, the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, Lord, teach us to pour this love back to others, to the people around us, to the poor and needy, to the people who are struggling, to the people who are broken, just like any one of us. Just as you have loved us from the start, teach us to love others and to love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.